Welcome to episode 4 in our Discovering Spiritual Discipline series. In episode 3, I offered a brief overview of the history of the Christian discipline of silence and solitude, from its beginnings in the 3rd century through contemporary times. In this final episode, I'd like to delve a little deeper into this discipline with you, with the understanding that I'm only scratching the surface of this Christian practice. While not the same, silence and solitude are often seen together when we talk about this spiritual discipline. So let's define spiritual silence and solitude and how they relate to one another. Let's start with solitude. A rough and ready definition of solitude, excluding forced solitude in prison or confinement, is withdrawal from social interaction. It's when one consciously decides to separate from others. The motivation for this separation can vary. You might feel angry, or you might feel overwhelmed. You could be an introvert and need your space, or you could open yourself to an encounter that leads to deeper spiritual growth, an encounter that leads to living a transformed life. We'll be focusing on the latter motivation today. Silence, when used in a spiritual sense, is the absence of human-created noise or sounds. It's not a necessary prerequisite to be in a state of solitude, but let's face it, when a person is in a quieter environment, not surrounded by man-made sounds, it's far easier to disengage from distractions that get in the way of entering into a world beyond the absence of sound. Silence is a way to make solitude a reality. Over time, many who have practiced the Christian discipline of silence have developed a deep appreciation for its spiritual power. It's more than the absence of sound. It's a pathway into deeper spirituality, to sacred space where we encounter God's presence, where the mystery of God's divine love is revealed and shared. For many in our culture, entering into silence is difficult. It can be a frightening place where we encounter not just the false self we've created in our minds, have come to believe and accept, but with time, our true selves. Father Henry Nouwen, the 20th century theologian and writer, describes this encounter with silence and solitude well in his book, The Way of the Heart. In silence and solitude, I get rid of my scaffolding. No friends to talk with, no telephone calls to make, no meetings to attend, no music to entertain, no books to distract, just me. Naked, vulnerable, weak, sinful, deprived, broken. Nothing. It is in this nothingness that I have to face my solitude, a nothingness so dreadful that everything in me wants to run to my friends, my work, and my distractions, so that I can forget my nothingness and make myself believe that I am worth something. But that is not all. As soon as I decide to stay in my solitude, confusing ideas, disturbing images, wild fantasies, and weird associations jump around in my mind. Anger and greed begin to show their ugly faces. I give long, hostile speeches to my enemies and dream lustful dreams in which I am wealthy, influential, and very attractive, or poor, ugly, and in need of immediate consolation. I try again to run from the dark abyss of my nothingness and restore my false self in all its vain glory. Henry Nouwen's remedy? To stay in solitude until, as he puts it, all my seductive visitors get tired of pounding on my door and leave me alone. It is then that we can encounter God's love as we truly are. Sounds and words around us, enticing us with more and more exciting and stimulating experiences. Our days are filled with almost non-stop words and sounds of buy me, drink me, see me, touch me, feel me, listen to me, agree with me, and on and on. When we're inundated with sounds and words everywhere and all the time, they tend to wash over us. When we constantly hear words spoken, sung, shouted, and screamed, we begin to think of them as just words. Our minds and hearts become numb to their meaning and significance. Even worse than becoming numbing or losing our confidence in words, we find they can take over our thinking and easily take over our egos, to the loss of our spiritual being. Let's be honest. We all use words to mean what we want, so that we can get what we want. We pull out the words that give us power. We use the words that make us look right and intelligent. But words at this level are not very helpful, and can be, and often are, very destructive, creating a me versus you point of view, resulting in deep divisions and resentment. Our Western minds are trained to look at opposites, to divide, to contrast and compare. This thinking has served us well in the realms of science, medicine, and mathematics. But without some means of mediation and balance, we begin to live an inner world that Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation, calls dualistic thinking. Dualistic thinking, as defined by Father Rohr, is when the world is almost exclusively separated into opposites. The dark side of a world dominated by this type of thinking is that much of the language we use is punctuated with descriptive words like good or evil, pretty or ugly, winner or loser, smart or stupid. A worldview manifests itself in our minds where one side considers itself absolutely right and the other completely wrong. Where my argument is always true, but yours is always false. My denomination has the whole truth, but yours does not. In dualistic thinking, our words do not seek to unite, but divide. I think it's likely that this is what Jesus would call judgmental thinking. When we look around at the state of discourse in the world, globally, nationally, locally, individually, our condition may seem rather hopeless. I believe we are not fated to a world dominated by dualistic thinking. We can choose a different way of perceiving and acting that recognizes that there are many degrees of reality that exist between either this or that thinking. A way of thinking that recognizes that we don't need to know everything, and in fact there's much that we don't know. A world where we don't need to continue to feel separate and isolated from others. A world of non-dualistic thinking. While I don't believe the discipline of silence and solitude that non-dualistic thinking offers is a panacea, I do believe it offers a time-tested pathway to living a life where dualistic thinking does not dominate and divide us. Silence has the power to change us, to awaken us, to give us that joy that the world cannot give, as Jesus says. Silence is a way to make solitude a reality. It offers us a kind of wholeness, a place where the soul can create space for deeper thinking and discernment, where transcendent grace shines upon us, revealing in love our true selves with flaws, and an acceptance of them, and in those of others. Silence can accept things that are contrary. It can absorb paradoxes and contradictions. In silence, The Holy Spirit frees us from taking sides and allows us to remain content in the partial darkness of every situation long enough to teach us, to broaden us, and to enrich us. Silence discloses the fullness of the now instead of always waiting and wanting more. So how can we begin this spiritual practice? First, I believe it's extremely important that you be kind and gentle to yourself as you begin to engage in this practice. Sometimes thoughts and feelings which come to the surface may be disturbing. You might feel overwhelmed or caught up in old patterns of thought or behavior. Whatever your experience, hold it gently and be kind to yourself. Remember, we are all imperfect and needing of God's mercy. As you come to accept your flaws, you will begin to see the flaws of others with greater kindness and compassion. As we discussed in episode 2 on the practical aspects of prayer, developing the habit of silence and solitude is like building any new habit into our life. It takes commitment, creativity, and perseverance. God deserves the best part of your day, so guided by your personal rhythms, choose a time to enter into silence and commit to it. Start with 10 minutes. You may think this is easy. For many, it is an eye-opening experience to be still for that amount of time. So be patient with silence and be open to what it reveals. It will give you a little in wisdom, insight, and other fruits of the Spirit, and then will give you more if you do not abuse the first little revealed in a manipulative way. It's like floating in water. Once you stop fighting it, you float even better. Seek somewhere that becomes your sacred space, a place that entitles you to quiet and solitude. It could be inside your home or outside. Experiment. Find out where works best for you, recognizing wherever you choose, it's not permanent. As we bring this episode of the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude to an end, let's take a few minutes to put silence to work. Note, I'm aware there's a strange irony to the use of sound and language around the topic of silence. But remember, by using non-dualistic thinking, we can absorb paradoxes and contradictions like this. Let's begin our meditation by closing your eyes and taking a few deep breaths to relax your mind. As you do so, begin to ponder these questions. They will likely require more time to fully consider, so you may want to revisit them in silence in the future. How often do I let my ego take hold of me and take rigid sides on issues? Think about the last time this happened. Do you feel like you reacted or overreacted to a situation or circumstance? Or did you respond with balance? How often have you found yourself in an argumentative state recently that upon reflection, you ultimately had to admit to yourself, "I just wanted to be right"? Are you open to the possibility that true interior silence may be a pathway for improving your relationships with others and how you feel about yourself? If yes, what steps will you take to create time and space for inner silence in your life? Take a few deep breaths and gently open your eyes to bring you back to this moment. This concludes our four-part series on the Christian disciplines of prayer in silence and solitude. I hope you found this series helpful in your spiritual journey. Please visit fpclive.org/DSD for additional reference material on these two disciplines. Many thanks to Father Richard Rohr, author of Silent Compassion, Finding God in Contemplation, and his publisher, Franciscan Media. All material used in this episode is with their permission.